Hey guys, this is Naeem, and you've reached the Mosaic Church podcast. So excited that you're part of our listening community, and I'd love for you to be even more connected. So check out our website. There's more content there, and there's more opportunities for you to get connected in our ministries and events as well. Also, love for you to share this content. If this is blessed to you, I know that God wants to use you to bless other people with it. So share this podcast, if you will. Lastly, would you consider supporting this ministry? This is made possible by other people's generosity, and I'd love for you to pay it forward. Join us to reclaim the message and the movement of Jesus together. So would you consider giving to this ministry? I know that God is able to do immeasurably more through us when we come together. Thank you so much. God bless you and enjoy.
Good morning. How are we doing? Excellent. You guys are in the house. It seems like you guys are in the house. You're in the house. We got Metro in the house too. Can you make some noise for them? Can we do that? What's up? What's up? You guys up there? Make some noise. Awesome. Great. It's 2000 and... Yes, it is, friends. It is 2019. And every year, the new year, I think about things that change and then things that stay the same, right? There are a lot of things that stay the same, but there are certain things that change. And what I mean by things that are changing, I'm talking about me and my eyesight. Now, let me just fill you guys in on something, but you need to promise to keep this in. Keep it in, okay? Do not tweet this, Instagram story it. Don't do any of that nonsense. Guys, I'm going to need reading glasses. Stop it. I know. I'm in my 20s, and why would I need reading glasses? I don't even get it. But yeah, I've got some reading glasses over here. Whoa, hello. Of someone I love a whole lot. I'm not going to mention who. No, not really. Do not love Kim Honeycutt. Let's put that on Twitter. No, I'm joking. But anyways, yeah, I think I pulled these off, right? What do you think? That was a sound guy. That's not even real. I got nothing. See, I think I can pull these off, right? Okay, that was another pity, Metro. Yeah, that's another like, no, you really can't. See, I do believe, though, that if you, as a speaker, if you have glasses and you're holding them like this and talking, you're smarter. If I make a point like this, like, hey, listen, I want to let you know something. Justin Bieber might just get married. It seems profound. You know what I'm saying? If I do it without him, you're like, hey, Justin Bieber. You're like, what, Justin Bieber? Whatever. But if I do this, everything is important. And then I do, hey, listen, I need you to listen to me. See? It's smarter. Why do I tell you this? Because I think I've had this relationship with this idea of eyesight and focus my whole life. I actually had glasses. I couldn't see from afar. I don't know what that's called. Nearsightedness, farsightedness. I can't. You guys change it up in you Americans. Anyways, but I don't know what it is. But I needed glasses early on, and then about 10 years ago, I got LASIK done. LASIK surgery. Yeah, I did that. And then they told me right there, hey, listen, you're going to need reading glasses. If you do this surgery, you're going to be able to see from, you're going to see far off objects. It's going to be great, 20/20 vision, all that kind of stuff. But you're going to need reading glasses. And so I've always had this fascination, or not this fascination, but this obsession with this idea of focus. Like I need, because I spent so much of my life like trying to get my eyes to focus. And I felt like that's my personality too. So when I think of this new year, I think of I need to focus. And so the word focus always comes to my mind. So when I think about the things I want to accomplish and things you want to accomplish, I don't know what you think of. I think of focus. I think of, hey, I need to focus about this. I need to focus on this. Forget the distractions. Just focus on one thing or two things or three things. And if I focus and I focus and I focus, it's going to work out. And what I've realized is that that's not really my life. It's not really about focus. It's really about a fight. It's really about fighting for the things that are worth your life. And so I want to just introduce this idea to you that maybe this As you approach 2019, and I don't know how it started off for you, and you're in it, and you're like, I'm not quite sure if this is going to work out. It doesn't matter. And first of all, it doesn't matter how you start. So if it's not working out right now, it doesn't matter how you start. It matters how you finish. And so just know that. But first of all, let's just talk about this idea of what will it take for you to really accomplish the things that God has for you. Could it be possible that maybe it's not this idea of focus, maybe it's this idea of how much you're willing to fight, not just focus. Because if it's worth keeping or having or creating, it's going to require a fight. And so what I want to talk to you about is certain things in our life that are so important to us. For example, this morning, relationships. Relationships are so important to us, and we'd all say that. I mean, coming out of the holidays, we understand the importance of relationships. I mean, all of them, right? The healthy ones and the dysfunctional ones, right? Can I get an amen? Right? And you're glad they're away now. That's good, you know? I get that. I understand. We had 18 people at our house. 18 people staying with us for 3 days. Felt like 13 days. We literally had to set up a tent in our house, inside the house. If you follow me on Instagram, you saw it. I mean, we had to do that. We understand the complexity of relationships. But there are some relationships in your life that are worth everything you have. And not just your focus, but your fight. Like, do you have the fight? Do you have what it takes to really see all that God has for you when it comes to your relationships? Are there relationships worth having? Or are there some that you just given up on? Are there relationships in your life? And I want to talk about that. I'm talking about friendships, marriages, and hopefully you just have one marriage, not two. That's another sermon, okay? But then when you talk about those, like friendships and then marriages and family, do you have relationships and are they worth a fight? Because I think if you're going to have anything that's worth something, it's going to be worth a fight. And for some of us, we're thinking, okay, what's going to be different this year when it comes to your relationships? What's going to be different about the quality of your life? And for some of you, you've given up on a marriage. You've given up on making it better. Maybe you thought, you know, this is as good as it gets, and there's so many things you need to do, and maybe it's just because you've lost the fight in it. There are friendships that you need to fight for. See, so many of us, we fight against people, but I think for some of us, we just have to fight for our friends and fight for our marriages and fight for our relationships and not fight against them, but maybe even in one sense, kind of with them. And what I mean by with them is that there are some of us that are in relationships that the other person is fighting for you, but you're not fighting. You're not fighting. They're fighting for you, but you're fighting against them. Could it be possible that maybe just the most simplest thing you need to hear today is that when it comes to your relationships, if you have one that's worth anything, that's worth keeping, that's worth having, and that's worth creating, then man, it's going to require a fight. It's going to. You know, I did a couple of years ago. I don't know why I did this, but there was a guy at Mosaic, and he did MMA, you know, like some mixed martial arts. And so I just got on this kick, and I thought, man, I want to train with him. And so I started training with him for about a year or so, like early in the morning, like 5 in the morning. We would go to his garage. He'd set up his garage into like a mixed martial arts studio, and man, because I love the idea of mixed martial arts. Like, I don't know, if you think of mixed martial arts, I don't know what you think of, but I think of like Superman punches, right? Do you know what that is? Anybody know what a Superman punch is? I'm not going to show you. Okay. And then, like, I because the images I have is, like, I grew up with images, like, so I'm a little bit older, so I grew up with, like, let's see, Van Damme. Anybody remember Van Damme? Right. I grew up with that. I mean, Karate Kid, the original, right? I grew up with that. So when I think of fighting and mixed martial arts, I'm thinking about there's a lot of kicking involved. Okay, and there's a lot of like, oh my gosh, he did this and that happened, and wow, it's just like, it's dramatic, it's amazing. And even now, I mean, even now, I when I think of fighting or this idea of mixed martial arts, I'm thinking of, you know, like Jason Statham, is that his name, right? You've seen him versus The Rock, remember in that movie? Furious 13, I don't know, whichever one they're on right now. I mean, I think of those kinds of scenes. So when I think of relationships, I automatically think, oh yeah, that's what I want to do. I want to fight against, I don't know what, against the relationships that I value, again, for my kids and for my marriage and for my friends. And I'm going to drop kick someone. I'm going to fly. I'm going to turn around and give them this number that I can't do. I mean, I'm going to do that. So when I started training with this guy, what I didn't realize is that he was a Gracie Jiu-Jitsu master. Okay, and I don't know if you know anything about Gracie Jiu-Jitsu, but it has nothing to do with fly kicking. Okay, it's a lot of groundwork. Like Jiu-Jitsu, actually, it's a Japanese term. Jit means gentle, and Jiu-Jitsu means skill, gentle skill. So Gracie Jiu-Jitsu, mixed martial arts, it's all about the groundwork. So if you've ever watched a fight, it's about like what these guys are doing on the ground, wrestling. I mean, you don't even know what's going on the ground. But most fights are won there. I mean, points are taken there. Like, I know the fly kicking and the knockout punches and are, wow, you look at them and you go, oh, that's fighting. But when you think of people who really know how to fight, they realize that it's on the ground. Like if you have a great, they call it ground game, you can win a fight. If you can just get someone to the ground, you can win. That's was the term tap out. Have you ever heard of the word tap out? That's what it means, that you have your opponent in such a lock, in such a bind, that they actually physically tap out. We like knockouts, right? We like knockouts. We like to, like, we want something like, oh my gosh. Yeah, but it's really about the ground game. It really is. And so when it comes to relationships and fighting for relationships, I think this idea of jiu-jitsu is pretty fascinating. This is gentle skill that you and I have to learn, because your relationships are going to be won or lost when you're in your ground game. Not the dramatic stuff that you do. It's not going to be when you show up and you beat someone up because you're protecting your wife. That is not going to happen. She's probably going to kick the guy's butt before you. Like, that's not, you don't, she doesn't need you to do that. You know what I'm saying? It's not the dramatic stuff. It's not like, oh, you will not have my family. That's the movies. It's the other stuff. It's the ground game. It's stuff that you and I have to really seriously think through, that's going to protect and keep and create the relationships. It's the fight that I'm talking about. And so, do you have a relationship that's worth anything, that's worth keeping or having or creating? If it's worth it, then man, it is worth fighting for. And are you willing to fight? Are you willing to do that? Let me start off by reading you a passage of scripture here. It's pretty fascinating. This is John chapter 15. This is verse 13. It says, greater love has no one than this. Okay, help me out with this, okay? Than this. To what? To what? To lay down one's life for one's friend. I mean, when you think of this, and if you've ever read this in certain popular contexts, it's the idea of dying for someone. Like, they use this a lot, for dying for someone. Even in scripture, it's alluded to maybe the idea of Jesus dying for us. But if you think about it, it's actually easier to die die for someone than it is to deny yourself for someone. That's really the heart of it. See, it's harder to die for someone than to actually live for them. Have you realized that? Like, it's easier to just go, I'll give you my life, or I'll take a bullet for you. But man, I'm not going to apologize, because it's your turn. Like, I'm not going to do this. I'm not going to humble myself. I'll allow myself to be harmed, but I don't want to humble myself. And then when you read this passage of scripture, greater love has no one to lay down his life for someone. I wonder if the scriptures are telling us, hey, if you want to keep a relationship, if you want to fight for a relationship in your life, you want to fight for your marriage, are you willing to deny yourself? Are you willing to lay down your life? And what I mean by that is not just death. I'm talking about in life. Are you willing to be humble? Are you willing to put aside all the things that kind of make you or give you pleasure? Are you willing to sacrifice for the relationships in your life? And see, the problem is that the fight is not outside. It's inside. And it's just an internal fight. It's this idea of like, I need to actually deny and I've got to say no to myself. I mean, that's the problem with me. I don't like saying no to myself. Does anybody else deal with that issue? I don't like it. I like saying no to other people, but not to myself. I just don't want to do that. But when it comes to our relationships, I wonder if God's saying, hey, the secret to really having amazing relationships, the secret to actually fighting for the relationships in your life that are worth anything is your willingness to lay down your life, not death, your actual life, your schedule, your time, your mental capacity, your emotions, your pride. Are you willing to lay it down? You see, I know this is a conversation that we all want to have and when it comes to relationships. Like, how do you make them better? But I can, you know, there's so many books about relationships. Have you ever been to a bookstore? Have you ever Googled? Does anybody have Amazon Prime? Anybody? Okay, yes. You can order all the books on relationships, and they'll give you all the steps about relationships. But if you're gonna really fight for the relationships that are most important to you, then the biggest opponent you will face is your will. It is you, and it is me. It is us. My needs, my wants, my desires. And that's the secret. That's the secret. Yes, we can make someone else the enemy for a little bit. The world, her, him. But deep down, it's you. Deep down, it's this. It's you got to figure out what's going on with this. Are we willing to lay down our lives? It's a tough conversation, right? But that's why we're calling it Fight Club. This is us fighting for the most important things in our life. Are you willing to do that? Are you willing to put down your agenda, put down your idea, your timeline for the most important relationships in your life? Are you and I willing to do that? Are we? That's the big one. That's the big one. So recently, last year, I ended the year. I think one of the last books I finished was it's an older book called Necessary Endings. And so, if you've never heard this title before, you should write this down somewhere. But it's called Necessary Endings by Dr. Henry Cloud. And he's written several other books. Boundaries was one of them. It's a classic, kind of a very popular one. But Necessary Endings is a fascinating book for me because it kind of talks about interpersonal relationships, but also in the business world and how relationships really work. And his whole premise is about how certain relationships need to end. And so I mentioned this to you right up front is because I think before you jump into fighting for the relationships that you think are really important, there might be some relationships that need to end. And what's fascinating about this book, I mean, I highly recommend it, but for me, what I got, one of the biggest values to me is understanding that the people in our lives, the relationships in our lives are there for a season. Like some relationships, if not all of them, in a sense, if you look at eternity, they're there for a season. They're just there for a season. And sometimes certain people play a certain role in your life for a season. And it's okay for that season to end. And just because their role ends and just because that season ends doesn't mean their relationship ends. It just changes. And so an end might be just a change from one role to another role, from one context to another context. But you and I have to identify, hey, if we look at this year, what are the 5 to 6 relationships that you're going to fight for? And some of them might need to end. Some of them might need to create some distance, and so you might need some help with that. But because I want to mention this before we jump into all the other conversation, because I want to make sure you're actually fighting for the right ones. You don't want to fight for the wrong ones. especially one that the other person is not fighting with you. They're actually fighting against you. And so let's jump into the passage of scriptures, and let me read you a particular passage. Now, if you read your Bible on your phone, I mean, you're smart, and it's super practical. And if you want to figure out, you know, how can I actually grow my spirituality a little bit more and just be in a you know, just have a better habits of learning scripture, I mean, I would highly recommend you using your technology to have a kind of like the scriptures available to you. But I will tell you this. If you are trying to figure out your faith and you're just, maybe this is brand new for you, and I know at Mosaic, we have so many people who are like, they find their adult faith. They're kind of rediscovering who God is. And a lot of people don't have a physical Bible. And so I actually brought this to you. I mean, it's real, guys. They exist. It's amazing. They do. And so, and you're going, wow, Nain, this might be the first time you're holding an actual Bible. You know what? Shut it. Okay? And repent. And you're right. So this is one of my many Bibles that I actually, physical Bibles that I have, right? But hey, this year, why don't you get one? Like, just get one of these. Like, you're like, no, get a real one. Or maybe you know, maybe get one for your friend and yourself. But get one. So let me read you a particular passage here. Now, I got to give you the context. That this passage, I'm going to go to my phone, okay, because I'm smart like that, okay? But the context is important. I want to read you a passage that you've probably heard before. It's in the book of Ephesians. So look that up or turn to it or Google it, whatever you need to do, or click on it. But it's chapter 6. The book of Ephesians is a book that's written to a particular church. Paul wrote it. He wrote it to several churches. But if you begin to read this letter, most of Paul's letters have a theme. The book of Ephesians has a lot to do with relationships. I mean, he starts talking about marriage relationships and parent relationships. And he kind of talks a lot about how you and I have to deal with one another or should deal with one another. And he gives us some really powerful things to think about. So if you read the whole letter, you'll kind of get a theme of this guy's really believes that it's so important that you and I are in good relationships with one another. And he kind of makes a big deal about this because he believes that the church has to be good at relationships. And so we have to be good at fighting for relationships. And the one thing that will destroy the power of the church is actually division when it comes to conflict in relationships. So he begins talking about it. And I wish, guys, if and I would do this, okay, for extra credit, homework, I would read the book of Ephesians this week. But before you get to chapter that I'm going to read, he kind of really sets the case for relationships. This is what we need to do. Be tenderhearted. He talks about all the things that I mentioned, the stuff that the fight within us, that we have to fight against this pride, and we got to fight against laziness. We got to fight against all kinds of things in our lives to really take hold of or keep and protect the relationships in our life. It's so important. And when he starts, he kind of ends the letter, he goes into what I want to read to you, chapter 6. But when I start reading this, you've probably heard this before, but not in the context of relationships. Because for some reason, I don't know why, when we read this passage and apply it, we just forget about that he's talked about relationships this entire time. So just imagine, he's talking about relationships, and then he ends, and then he says, here, let me read this, verse 10, he says, and a final word, be strong in the Lord and his mighty power. Put on all of God's armor so that you will be able to stand firm against all the strategies, can't say that word, of the devil. For we are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in the dark world, against evil spirits in heavenly places. Therefore, put on every piece of God's armor so you will be able to resist the enemy in the time of evil. Then, after the battle, you will still be standing firm. So let me just stop right here. These are four verses, and he begins talking about, he sets the stage up for, hey, I want you to understand something. You are fighting against an invisible kingdom. You are fighting against this invisible world. There's so many things that are at play here, and you don't even know. And there is a power. There is we call him Satan, you call him devil, whatever you want to call him. But he is against something. He's against you. So I want you to stand firm. I want you to understand. And don't be naive about this. There's someone out who is a bigger enemy than you think of. It's not flesh and blood. It's not those people and those Christians. It's not that political party and this political party. It's not those kinds of people and that kind of, no, it's not a nation. No, it's invisible. And he sets the stage. Now, what's fascinating to me is that he's talking about relationships. He's saying, hey, I want you to understand something. There's an enemy of your soul that wants to kill and destroy your marriage. You don't think so. It's not your wife. It's not your kids that want to ruin your life. It's not. It's not your boss. It's not your neighbor who you so seriously are so annoyed with. No. It's not those people. It's not people. It's not people in traffic. Seriously? Yeah, it's not. I know. We're like, are you sure about that? Is that biblical? Yes, it is biblical. He's saying, hey, there are things at play here that are bigger than you think, and it's not flesh and blood people. Your real enemy is unseen, and he's against you. And what he means by against you is he's against your relationship. You know what Jesus said? I want you to pray for your enemies, right? Why did he say that? Who really does that? No one, right? Jesus is like, I could imagine him saying it. Pray for your enemies. And people go, say something else. You messed up there. What do you mean? What do you mean? We're being oppressed by them. Pray. What do you mean? Pray for your enemies. Love your enemies. Really love your enemies? Who does that? See, what Jesus was saying is when you begin to pray and love for your enemies, they no longer become enemies. They change. They can't stay enemies anymore. You have to take that enemy category and put it on someone else. And Jesus is saying, hey, I want you to love, I want you to pray for your enemies, because when you think of your enemies, you're going to actually change and begin to realize that your fight in so many capacities is actually against an unseen world. And friends, I'm telling you this, I know that you and I are made for relationships. We know this. And when people are united in friendship, it is such a strong thing, and you know this. And when Christians become the church, we've talked about this last year, when we become, there is a force, it is a supernatural force that's created, that's formed together. I mean, Jesus said, when two or more of you are gathered together in my name, I'm there in the midst. It is powerful when two or more agree. It is just out of this world when we come in unity and come into relationships. There is something so profound and unexplainable when humans come together united. And the one thing that carries the weight of the power of the church is relationships. It's relationships. It's all relationships. And that's why the devil is actually called what? The word there is to the divider. And he's the divider of what? Political parties? No, he's the divider of people. He knows if you and I break relationship with one another, if you and I break relationship with God, if relationship is broken, then we're weak. We're weak. And if we're weak, we're going to be taken out. And there is no fighting alone. You and I have to link arms together. He's saying, hey, I want you to be strong. I want the final word. I want you to behave. I want you to understand there is something against you. There's something against you. And then he begins talking about the popular, you know, passage that we have read before. And this is like we call it the God's armor. And we've heard it before. But let me read this to you. He says, verse 14 and 18 through 18. He says, stand your ground, putting on the belt of truth and the body armor of God's righteousness. Verse 15, for shoes put on peace that comes from the good news so that you'll be fully prepared. In addition to all of these, hold up the shield of faith to stop the fiery arrows of the devil. Put on salvation as your helmet and take the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. He ends with, pray in the Spirit all the times in every occasion. Stay alert, be persistent in your prayers for all believers everywhere. What is he talking about? He's talking about the fight for relationships. This is the context of it. And so if you actually dig deep into it a little bit, let me just break this down to you. First of all, he talks about, when he talks about this idea of standing, he says this, okay, I want you to stand your ground, putting on the belt of truth. What he's saying here is, let me give you a couple of things. Number one, honesty. You need honesty in a relationship. There's actually about six of these things. So number one is honesty. He says, I want you to fight against lies, fear, awkwardness, afraid to hear the truth or say the truth. I want you to put on truth, honesty. Make that the number one thing in your relationships. Honesty, do you have that? Here's what I want you to do. This comes against that invisible enemy of yours. Honesty. Number two, he says righteousness, right? What does that mean? He's talking about this idea of self-worth. He said you need self-worth in your relationships. You need honesty, but also self-worth. That means a self-identity. That means you don't need anyone else to give you worth. How many of you, if you know people, they're dating people, they keep dating people because they just want someone to tell them that they're okay, that they're enough. It keeps on going and going and going. They have no self-worth. Have you ever had a relationship with someone that has no self-worth? It's tough because you got to remind them that they're awesome. Because you don't intrinsically believe that they're enough, that they're precious. So you don't have self-worth in a relationship. It's not going to work. So he says, hey, I want you to put on that righteousness. Then he says, hey, also, I want you to do this. I want you to do this. I want you to, for shoes, put on peace. Peace. And I love this idea of peace because what he's really saying is, I want you to have grace for people in your life. See, if you don't have grace for people, if you're always anxious about everybody else and what they're doing, you'll never have peace in your life. And he says, hey, here's another thing I want you to do. I want you to have honesty. I want you to have self-worth. But then you have to have grace. Grace. Because grace gives you patience. Grace says, okay, you know what? I'm going to treat people based on who they are and not what they believe. Let me ask you this, something. Have you realized how we treat people? I think so many of us, you don't even know it, but you treat people based on what they believe. You're like, of course we do. When it comes to religion, you're like, oh no, but everybody's okay. But no, you, if there is a topic out there that gets you triggered, hashtag the wall. If there is an issue out there, and people believe something else than you don't believe it, it messes you up, and you treat them differently. We treat people differently based on what they believe. And what the scriptures are saying is, hey, I want you to have, when you walk into a relationship or when you walk into a conversation, I want you to have peace. What that means is I want you to have grace. People change their mind. It's okay. Don't treat people based on what they believe. Treat them based on who they are. Then he keeps on going. He says, hey, also, I want you to do this. I want you to hold up the shield of faith. What does that mean? To stop the fiery arrows of the devil. What he says here is, I want you to trust people when you're in relationships with them. I want you to have this trust and this faith, because without it, you're not going to believe anything that's true. You're not going to believe people. Like, I don't know if you know this, but I'm sure you've experienced it. Have you ever felt let down before? Anybody? Just let down. Has anybody ever said they would do something and you're still waiting for them to do it? Anybody? Don't point, man. That's not good. That's not, you know? It's not. Yeah, we're waiting on them. See, when someone says they're going to do something and you don't see that happening, that blank space, you have to fill it with something. And the scriptures are saying, fill it with trust. Relationships die because of this. Because you do something, the other person does not understand it, and they fill it up, they fill that space with something. And the scriptures are saying, those are arrows thrown into your relationships. You have thoughts. Have you ever had a thought that's like, I know why they didn't do this? And then you make up a whole scenario, don't you? I mean, you've got all kinds of characters. You got sci-fi going on. I mean, you've made up all kinds of story of why they did this and why they're doing that and why she said this. And you don't even know. You have no idea. Why? Because you filled in the space with distrust. And he's saying, hey, you got to trust. Because if you don't trust, you'll be offended. Have you ever been offended? Did you know this about offense? You control it. Did you know that? You control it. Like, you can choose not to be. What? Yeah. Like, you know when people say, you offended me? That's not true. It's more like, I offended myself. You did something and I took offense. I didn't have to take it. Did you know that? I know, this is rocket science right here. Like, what? What? Yeah, no one has the power to offend you. Shut up. What? It's true. Write it down. No one has the power to do that. By the way, why would you give people that much power? You want to give people power to ruin your day? Really? But we know people who've given other people permission to ruin their lives. Why? Because we give it away. We give it away. He said, don't do that. Don't do that. Then he said, he keeps on going. This is like so powerful stuff. Then he says, and put on salvation as your helmet. Oh, I love this. I love this. He says, salvation of your, it's like, he said, hey, just remember why this is important. Like, salvation as your helmet. He says, hey, put on the knowledge of, hey, this is the reason why I'm doing this. There is a bigger purpose to this. There's a bigger play. Basically, he's saying, commitment. He says, I want you to fill your head with this idea of salvation, this idea of commitment. So basically he's saying is besides honesty and self-worth and grace and trust, you got to have commitment. Because if you don't have commitment in any kind of relationships, it's going to be very hard to fight for it. Because I don't know about you, but I have to fight laziness. Anybody else have to fight laziness? Anybody? Okay, it's just me. Metro, anybody? Okay. Okay, fight laziness. There's a powerful book. I think I've mentioned this before. It's called The War for Art. The War for Art by Stephen Pressfield, I believe. Read several years ago. And it's it, profoundly changed the way I think about creating things or starting new things. And the premise of this of his book, he's a writer and he talks about the creative process. And he identifies an enemy in the book. And he says, the enemy of creativity and innovation is not the lack of great ideas or the lack of talent or resources. He says the greatest enemy is actually resistance. And he takes resistance and he makes it out to be the enemy. Resistance is the whole, I can't, or I don't, not today, or I'll skip this once, or I don't know about this, or I've tried this before, I'm not quite sure. I don't really quite feel it. I don't want to do it today. I'm not quite sure. I don't know about that. I don't know. It's the resistance. Like if you've done anything, if you've ever started anything or wanted to start something, a project, an idea, a book, a painting, you look at it and go, I don't know. Maybe I'm not quite sure. The hardest thing is to actually start. The hardest thing is to actually just do it. It's resistance. And so I think when it comes to relationships, for us, it's this commitment comes to resistance. You're like, I've done this before. I'm not quite sure. I don't know. It's not worth it. And so that's what happens. We lose our commitments to actually having quality relationships. And what happens then? Then we go, you know what? I'm not going to get help. We got help before, or we thought we got help. I'm not quite sure. And we just resist and resist and resist. And so what happens is our commitment just drops. And the scriptures are saying, which I know for some of you, you're like, oh, I've read this passage, man. It's not about that. It's talking about some other stuff. What other stuff? What is it talking about? It's talking about relationships, that you and I have to fight for our relationships. And lastly, he says this, I want you to what? Pray. He says, and then pray in the Spirit at all times and every occasion. Stay alert, be persistent in your prayers, and pray for all the people out there. He's talking about relationships. He's talking about praying for relationships. And the last thing he's saying is, hey, you're going to need supernatural help. You're going to need God in this. Are you ready for that? That's what you have to understand, that God is committed to this. And if you lean into his power and you lean into some of the things that we talked about here, we can actually make a difference. We can, in fact, fight for our relationships. But here's the big question before we end. The question is, are you and I willing to do that? Are you and I willing to lay down our lives for a friend? And this friend could be our friend in marriage, a friend, a brother, a sister, or an actual just a friend, a colleague. Are we willing to deny ourselves? Because it's easier to just die. It's easier to die for a stranger than it is to deny yourself for a loved one. It's the hardest struggle we have. And yet it is the reason why we don't have great relationships. It's the reason why we lose relationships. We don't keep them. They're not that strong. So what will it take for us? What will it take for you? Man, I pray that as we look at the possibilities this new year, that we would go, you know, I have relationships in my life. They're not perfect, but they are worth keeping. They're worth having, and some that are worth creating. And I'm going to do whatever it takes to have those, to possess those. And so what I want to just pray for you, I want to pray that God would heal some of you, and that you'd have a very real moment of like, am I willing to do this? Because if you're willing to do this, then God is able to come in and do more than you actually think possible. So let me pray for you. Before I do that, I do want to say this. There's some of you that this, when it comes to relationships, there is a God out there who's fighting for you. There's a God out there who sent his son Jesus to die on a cross so you could have relationship with him. And I don't know about you, but he has been fighting for you for a very long time. The question is, are you fighting against him, or are you going to fight, in one sense, with him? Are you going to fight for your relationship with God? It could be as easy as saying, today, I want a relationship with you. Hey, let's pray together. Lord God, I thank you so much for who you are. I thank you, Lord God, for what you've done in our lives. And I thank you for what you are doing. God, I know that the possibilities of this year are exciting. And I know, God, that there are relationships in this room and at Metro and even live stream audience, God. There's a community of people. We're all gathered together and we all have relationships that matter. And the truth is that our relationships determine the quality of our lives. And some of us, we're just getting demolished when it comes to them. That there's so much pain when it comes to a mother and daughter relationship. There's so much grief that comes to and a loss that comes from a father and son relationship. There's so much anger and bitterness, Lord God, when it comes to a marriage relationships. There's so much stuff when it comes to even friendships that have lost and there's a betrayal. God, we are broken people and we understand that. But we believe and we know, God, that you are able to do more than we can imagine. That God, it's you that comes in and unites us. It's your love and forgiveness that allows us to love and forgive others. So God, I pray in Jesus' name, would you give us what we need? Would you speak to each and every person who's hearing this? Would you give them a picture, a person, a relationship that they need to fight for today? In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this message from Mosaic Church in Charlotte, North Carolina. For more audio and video content, visit us at mosaicchurch.tv.